Hello and welcome to Journey the Monkey King with myself, Priva, and my friend MJ.
Hello.
We're on chapter 56 of Journey to the West. And the tight fillet spell, the torture spell, is making a return this chapter. So just a heads up if you do not like that much.
Yay, torture headband.
Yep. So there's also, there's two things I'd like before we start into the chapter. The first is, if you hear like random tinkling noises and like some other like random noises on recordings, I've just noticed this while I'm editing things, it's probably my cat. She's literally asleep on the desk next to me right now, so if she wakes up suddenly, she's gonna make some noise. And yeah, I just can't always edit it out if it's happening while I'm talking or something like that. The other thing was just on a translation note from the last episode. We went on about the use of like the word bitch in the translation. And Janet O'Keefe chimed in.
Love you, Janet.
yep. Just saying that in the Jenner translation, what Zhubaji says is, "Stand back, brother, while I kill this vicious beast." And then later in the text describes her as a she-devil a few times.
Okay, she-devil is also just kind of cool.
Yeah, less kind of bite to it than filthy bitch.
Avast, I will gut this she-devil rather than I'm a cut a bitch. I don't know. Yeah, I'd be happy. Well, I would not be happy with that sort of a gendered term at all, but I think I'd be happier being called a she-devil than a bitch.
Yeah.
It's almost like I would want that sort of on a t-shirt, you know?
Onto the actual chapter at hand. So the pilgrims have finally gotten out of the women's country. No more women, at least none who are like have a huge amount of agency. And
it was nice while it lasted. Attempted marital rape aside.
Yeah,
I didn't say that. Good God.
I mean, if you want, you could have not said it. I could edit it out.
I feel like I should wear the badge of shame.
So the pilgrims are out of the women's country, and it's now around the time of the Double Fifth Festival, or the Dragon Boat Festival, which happens on the fifth day of the fifth month of the year, which is about May or June in the Gregorian calendar, apparently. It's just like an actual festival, and the book gives that this is when this is happening.
Okay.
So they come up to yet another mountain they need to cross over, and it's getting late in the evening, and they start trying to look for somewhere to get a meal together and a beg for a bed. Baji is getting impatient, and he's trying to drive the horse a bit, but it's just kind of ignoring him. So Wukong decides to show him up a bit and waves his rod around. Or Wukong... Wukong... Yes. I mean, that's what I actually have in my script. I'm just getting tongue-tied, like, in a normal
way.
You
wrote a draft of that, looked over it, presumably edited it a little bit, and said, that's grand.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like, it is. I'm not using it as a fucking euphemism. He has an iron rod that he waves around a lot. This is a thing he does.
You're so pretty, Quiva.
So anyway, the horse immediately bolts anyway. And the narration kind of brings up Wukong's job as the ban horse plague again. And this time it kind of adds a little extra bit to, I guess, the consequences of that. So it says not only are like horses in general afraid of Wukong, but it kind of now escalates it to kind of to a just so story, saying that this is the reason horses in general are afraid of apes in general.
Okay.
There's nothing hugely important to the plot there. I just kind of like, I like when the book kind of throws in these kind of just so stories into things.
I didn't know that horses were afraid of apes, but
I mean, I didn't particularly either, but I've never, you know, there's not many monkeys in Ireland. You don't generally see them interacting with horses much. It's not a thing. I don't think there's a huge overlap in like a huge amount of places where they have put monkeys on horses other than like fucking China, I guess.
India, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I might be completely wrong in that. This is my European bias, probably.
If you've seen a monkey interact with a horse, please do let us know.
Yeah, were they friends or was the horse frightened?
Was the monkey riding the horse? Was the horse riding the monkey? Who?
What was it? Some sort of probably very unethical circus act.
Yeah, no, that's just sad. Just thinking about how they're those animals aren't kept in nice conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the horse bolts, and it gallops away for about 20 li before it finally comes to a halt. And Tripitaka, I'm really tongue tied today for some reason. Tripitaka manages to cling on for dear life and stay on the saddle. But when the horse finally comes to a halt, it's in the midst of a group of 30 or so bandits. Who immediately demand all of Tripitaka's money, of which he has none, because they are ascetic monks.
Yeah.
So Tripitaka says what is, according to the narration, the first lie he has ever told in his life. He says, I don't have any money on me, but my disciple is right behind me and he has all the silver with him. So you can talk to him about the money in a minute.
I mean, it's a fair lie.
Yeah. I mean, only one of the two clauses is a lie. The disciple, I mean, I guess multiple disciples. I have a disciple coming up behind me isn't technically a lie.
No. This is a half-truth.
That's a half-truth. Him having the money is a lie.
Yeah.
So the bandits say, all right, then, and they tie him up and hang him from a tree and wait for this disciple to show up. And the novel continues with a little segue that I enjoyed, which was just, we tell you now about those three rowdy troublemakers.
Ah, those boys getting into their shenanigans.
Yep.
Shenanigans.
So yeah, the three rowdy troublemakers see Tripitaka tied up on the tree ahead, and Wukong goes himself to investigate, and he decides to shapeshift into a less dramatic appearance. So he shapeshifts into a young priest, a human priest, about 16 years old or so, which, you know, coincidentally, handily fits into Tripitaka's story.
I mean, he's backing him up at the very least.
Yeah. So the bandits demand all the money off Wukong. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll give you everything. Just let my master down first. And they do. And he promptly rides off back towards the east to find the other two. And Wukong tells the bandits, right, we're going to get the money and we're going to divide it into three portions. And the bandits are like, kind of a little taken aback, but they're like, all right, if you have enough money, we'll see how much you have. If you have enough, we'll let you keep some for yourself to buy some food or whatever. And Wukong says, you thought I had money. No. I'm saying you get out all the money you've robbed off everyone else, and we're going to split it between us.
Nice. Tripitaka is going to have some freaking problem with that, isn't he?
He will have bigger issue at what's about to happen.
Okay.
So this pisses off the bandit leader, and he tries to beat Wukong over the head with a club, and Wukong isn't remotely affected by this. So the second bandit leader joins in, and they just smash him in the head repeatedly to no effect whatsoever. So Wukong eventually decides he wants to do a bit of a quip. So he says, "Oh, I don't have any money. Oh, the only possession I have is this needle behind my ear, and I'll gladly share it with you." So he pulls out the rod from behind his ear, grows it to normal size, and he plants it in the ground. And he says, "If you can pick that up, you can keep it." And obviously, not only is this like a solid iron weapon, it's also banded in with gold on either end. So
it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy, but also it's like valuable. Yes. So they try and move it, but they can't budge it like a single inch. It might as well be a building. And Wukong then picks it up himself, grows it to 70 feet tall, and the circumference, it says, of a well, which seems rather excessive, and then uses that to smash the two leaders with it in the head. And all of the other bandits just flee in terror because their leaders just got brained by essentially a tower.
Fair. Yeah, that would unnerve you slightly.
Yeah, so meanwhile, Tripitaka has reached the others, and he tells Baji to run ahead and tell Wukong to be merciful and not kill anyone. Bit late for that.
A little bit. Just a tad.
When they catch up to Wukong and Tripitaka sees everything that's happened, Tripitaka orders Baji to dig two graves. But Baji protests that Wukong should do it. He's the one who killed them. And Tripitaka is not happy about these two murders, and
Wukong, he's not a fan of the Ob murder.
No, he's not. And Wukong is annoyed about being judged like this, and he calls Baji lazy, and he threatens to hit him too if he doesn't dig the fucking graves. And what Tripitaka tells Wukong to do is to go get some incense and candles so he can say some like proper prayers for the bandits. And Wukong just like, "Where the fuck am I meant to get that? We're halfway up a mountain. Am I going to go to the shop?" So Tripitaka just does the rites as best he can with what he has at hand. He picks up some dirt and just like kind of sprinkles it as if it was incense, kind of ceremonially, and this kind of thing.
Use what you got.
Yeah, so he then, as part of these rites, he recites a poem that starts talking about himself and kind of his pilgrimage and his story as a monk. And then the middle part is kind of talking about the bandits and his pity he has for them. And the poem ends with him saying to the bandits, "If you want to file a suit in the afterlife, please remember that the guy who killed you was Sun Wukong, not me."
Fair.
And Wukong, in response, he gets a bit, they have a bit of back and forth. He gets a bit pissed off. He smashes the graves with his rod a bit again, and then he recites his own poem, which is more or less to the effect of, "Try and fucking sue me. I know the Jade Emperor."
Yeah, it's always, it's not about, it's just about who you know.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, Tripitaka is even more shocked by this, but in the end, they just kind of carry on, all pissed off at each other, until they reach a village. Anyway, they're all pissed off at each other, and they keep on the road until they reach a village. And Tripitaka stops at a house and asks an old man for lodgings. And as has happened many times already, this man is very frightened by the appearance of the disciples. He calls them, Wu Jing a yaksha, Baji a horse face, and Wukong a thunder squire.
It's a horse face. But I mean, the guy literally just looks like a pig. Also, thunder squire, like she devil, just sounds so fucking cool. I don't think it's an insult.
Thunder deity is actually something, or specifically, Wukong is described as having like a beak, or I guess like jowls, I guess you could say, like a beak like a thunder deity a bunch of times. Which I was never really able to like. I was trying to like Google various iterations of that phrase to find something that might be relevant for it, and I didn't really see anything that made sense to me. Maybe I should try that again. That was like when I first started doing this podcast, and I don't think I ever really tried again. Kind of note for future Quiva when I'm editing this to come back and look again.
Bury messages for yourself in the content.
Oh,
pan the content for you to do this.
Don't call it content. I hate calling things content.
I hate the word content, and I was a content writer for many years. And can be again if you hire me. I hate the word content, but I do write it very well. I'm a thorough and efficient researcher with a very firm understanding of SEO principles, and the statistics of my last work speak for themselves. I can provide analytics and several good references. Please fucking hire me.
Please see the show notes for the Patreon, the Twitter links, and MJ's LinkedIn.
I do not want my professional profile associated with anything I do in comedy at all.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, this old man, his name is Yang, he's 74 years old, and he has one son, who, to his shame, has decided to become a bandit, interestingly enough.
Okay, that's such a coincidence. Weren't we talking to a few bandits just a little while ago?
Yeah, Tripitaka is immediately a bit awkward about this, and Wukong suggests to Yang that he should go let Wukong murder his son for him, because he's only going to bring the family disgrace. Yeah,
that sound parenting advice from the murder monkey.
Yeah. But I was reading. Sorry, this is completely aside. But I remember I was just listening to a podcast recently, and as a thing that they mentioned was supposedly in ancient Rome, it was like just legal for fathers to execute their children, or like just like,
and they didn't misbehave. I can tell you that much. There were none of these drugs.
Not even necessarily fathers. Just like the like patriarch of the household, so the oldest male in the household could just kind of execute anyone in it, supposedly.
Can you imagine just being brought in for a meeting with like your uncle and him just sitting down going, listen, it didn't work out, cuts your throat.
The thing that occurred to me to be horrifying is if you're like a woman and your husband dies, then your son can do it to you.
Oh Jesus. Yeah, that's, oh God, that's all kinds of, yeah.
Anyway, ancient Rome, great bunch of lads.
Anyway, that's enough of that. Back to the murder.
Baji and Wu Jing just tell Wukong to mind his own business. We're not officials. We're not part of the government. Let the family sort themselves out. And after the meal, Yang puts the pilgrims up in his barn to sleep in for the night. And
I mean, that's very nice of them, considering that, you know, one of them have just said, hey, your son should be murdered. I can give you a hand if you want. That's fine. I'd like you to stay on my property. Have some more food.
Yeah, so as it turns out, the son, in fact, was one of the bandits they met earlier, but not one of the two that Wukong killed.
Ah.
And so he shows up in the middle of the night with a bunch of mates, looking for kind of food and a place to stay for the night themselves. So the dad was kind of telling them that they need, he tells them that these monks showed up, and the son's like, oh, monks, is it?
Monks, you say?
And
I'll just pay these a visit.
Yeah. And so he like openly talks about what happened earlier, and he plans. He says, "All right, lads, let's all finish our food here, and then afterwards we'll stab them in their sleep." So Yang goes to warn the pilgrims about this. And he gets them up and tells them to get the fuck out because the son's going to do this. And so while all the bandits are still eating, the pilgrims flee. And when the bandits go to have a look and to kill them, they see that they're gone, and they give chase on the road going west. And they manage to catch up with them around sunrise. And Wukong just says, all right, I'll just finish them off. And Tripitaka tells him not to hurt any of them, just frighten them away. You don't have to kill any of them. And Wukong does not listen to this.
Yeah, understandable. Not understandable, but, you know, on brand.
Yeah, and after his rampage is done, Wukong asks one of the wounded survivors, and honestly, it's kind of impressive. It's like an impressive amount of restraint for him that there are people who are wounded. And he asks them, all right, which one of ye is Yang? And he promptly beheads the corpse that he's pointed to and brings back the head and gives it to Tripitaka, who promptly falls off his horse in shock.
It's been a while since he fell off his horse.
He managed to keep on when it was galloping away for 20 li, but yeah, this did it. And I don't know what Wukong expected to happen at this point, but I'm pretty sure everyone else can guess what happens at this point. Tripitaka, without even saying a word to Wukong, just starts reciting. Oh no, sorry, he does give out to him. But he starts reciting the tight fillet spell over and over again. Wukong begs him to stop, and he just keeps saying it over and over and over. When it's finally done, Wukong like begs him, please, if you have something to say, just tell me what you have to say. And Tripitaka, all he tells him is just leave, just fuck off. I don't want you on this pilgrimage anymore. And he banishes Wukong for the second time.
I mean, I feel like Tripitaka tried to resolve this situation. There were several conversations about not murdering people. The murder kept happening. Yeah. You set the boundary. If they cross it three times, they're out of your life. Also, I like to think that in the court, Heavenly Court of the Jade Emperor, someone has just put one of those signs down to zero. We have been 0 days without a tight fillet spell recitation.
Oh yeah. I thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to talk about the being sued thing.
Yeah.
Well, they probably just have a complaint form just for Wukong related incidents.
They've got a Wukong lawyer on retainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the torture device belt, not a fan. Not a fan of torture. I'm gonna go out on the limb and say it.
Controversial. You know? Controversial.
It's a hot take, but I don't think torture is good. But yeah, this is a sort of talk. Yeah. Sometimes people just gotta stop murdering, you know? He asked him nicely.
It is, yeah. There is. Tripitaka doesn't have like any other way of stopping Wukong doing anything he wants.
Yeah.
And there's a degree which like it's probably good that he has a way of stopping Wukong murdering random people, but also probably shouldn't have like complete control over another person like that.
Yeah, it's scary. It's fucking scary.
I think I can go out on a limb here and even if it's a bit controversial, that, you know, like murder, torture, slavery, all kind of bad.
Yeah. Someone had to come out and say it.
Unless we're talking about child murder, that's like a completely different thing.
Oh my god, again with the child murder. No more child murder.
He killed Yogg's adult child.
We're all someone's children.
His large adult son.
Large decapitated adult son. I also love like, what did he think was going to happen when he brought the head to Tripitaka?
Yeah, I don't I can kind of understand he's pissed off. He goes into a rage. He does something brash.
He's a murder monkey.
He does this thing out of like an emotional outburst. Not saying that murder is okay when you're having an emotional outburst, but he does this. Yeah.
Don't murder anyone unless you're having a bad day.
Like decapitating him and bringing the head back. It's like there's no possible way you could think the Tripitaka would ever he's not gonna want this, definitely. And even if you're just trying to get under his skin a bit, it's like,
is this a display of power? Because he does have the torture headband that I don't see the logic.
I mean, I don't think it's logic. I think it's, like I said, an emotional outburst, but it's very bad idea.
And very Wukong.
Anyway, I think if we're done attempting to psychoanalyze and debate the morality of the hyper murder monkey.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've got any more of that in me.
Yeah. So there'll be links to Patreon. If you support us on Patreon, you'll get episodes as soon as they're done. And there access to a couple of bonus episodes that we've done. There'll be links to myself and MJ's Twitter accounts, and also MJ's LinkedIn account, and CV.
You could possibly come to any of the Hysteria Ireland shows or platforms in the Dublin Fringe and stop me having to whore myself out as a content writer on various podcasts I'm on.
Yeah, if you're in Dublin, go to Shinné on, I don't know, is it Friday, Saturday evenings?
Were there Fridays? Were there Saturdays? Were there Thursdays? Occasionally Wednesdays, sometimes Sundays. We're just generally sort of there, but definitely Fridays and Saturdays.
If you're in Dublin and you're go to Shinné on an evening, there's a good chance that you'll see someone from Hysteria.
Yeah. But specifically Fridays and Saturdays. And Thursdays is the Crash and Burn open mic night, which is a lot of fun. Anyway, there are many ways you can give us money.
Yeah.
Please give us money. I'm sorry. I'm looking at like a renting a place for like over 20% what I expected on, and I lost my job. So just like, I'm not gonna be entertaining about it. Just please specifically give us money.
Bye.